What's up, guys? This is Andrea with the Andrea Effect. I hope you're having a beautiful morning, day, or night, whatever time of the day you are listening to this podcast episode at. We are actually recording live on this vlog show with Miss Cassandra Becerra. Let me give you guys a little background on her. Say hi, Cassandra.
Hi, Cassandra.
Cassandra Becerra is originally from Guadalajara, Mexico. She arrived to the States as an unaccompanied minor around the age of 4. Shout out immigrant nation here. A mother of Zachary, Bella, and Annalise. She's a graduate of Pueblo High School in Tucson, Arizona. She's worked and dedicated her whole life to pre-K and students, just kind of learning and teaching and guiding youth with Mary Bell McCorkle Academy of Excellence, the Pima Partnership Academy, even as far as working with children with disabilities. She's volunteered in many areas, including Pima County Teen Court. I want to know more about that. And she served as a juror, a teen attorney, and as a magistrate. How exciting, right? She's able to serve and ended up helping in the justice system and empowering youths who need a second chance, who need someone to believe in them. I think it really takes a village in this kind of, I believe she seconds that. So these types of opportunities are key. She currently works for the United States Member of Congress, Mr. Raul Grijalva, who wholeheartedly serves his population, serves his whole community, as does she. That staff, that team does their best, and they have been serving the community for several years. I'll let you correct me on those years exactly. But I believe that, as she serves, as you serve and the whole, I guess, office that I've seen, you guys have done wonderful things. So that is a quick Cassandra in a nutshell. Sorry, guys, trying to multitask here. All right. But thank you for coming on. Thank you for making the time, because I know you're super busy right now. You can go off your checklist of what you're doing.
Thanks for having me. Hi, everyone. So that was Cassandra's world in a nutshell. I'm happy to be here. This is exciting. I've never done this before, so I'm super nervous. But at the same time, I'm talking to Andrea, so I'm just going to keep it like a cash conversation and not focus too much that I'm live right now.
Yeah. We actually, I halted that option. So we are not live. I halted that. But you will be at some point. And I'll let you know. I'll give you a fair enough heads up. Like, hey, I'm going to publish this, so that'll be fun. But no, this is something that I love doing. You've known me for many years. And being able to do this with people I admire, I see work hard and dedicate their whole life to their, I don't want to just say one thing, right? I see you dedicate yourself to the community. I see you dedicate yourself to your family, your children. I see you dedicate yourself to yourself, your road trips. Okay. If you guys aren't following her, go stalk her on her Facebook page. All you see is just these wonderful pictures. And just everyone's like, where do you go on these road trips? And I'm just like, wow, that's pretty brave, right? Just to get up and go. A lot of people are like, oh, I don't want to get up and go. Like, I can't do it by myself. I'm shy or something like that. And I really admire that about you. You're like, I want to go check out this place by myself. And like, how exciting and like how brave to just, and fearless of you to do that. So shout out to you.
Thank you. I think we all reach that point, right? We're not always like that. I wasn't always like that. The like idea of going out to eat dinner by myself was like, oh, loser, I don't want to do that. Going to a movie by myself, going even on a road trip by myself. Like, those are not concepts that were welcome, before I grew. So I think every woman goes through that. You just have to kind of challenge yourself, and then you realize that it is one of the best feelings to do things by yourself. You don't need anybody there. It's nice to have people there, but you certainly don't need anybody to go with you on an 8-hour road trip to California to sit at the beach all morning and read a book. So,
yeah.
Good.
So you're telling me you're going out to California. Sounds like you already have it planned out. Like, what's your next move? That was further down on the question list, but I mean, just let me know. So I am far away from Arizona right now, but what feels miles away, I'm in Texas, y'all. And I got it, y'all. And now, like, Texas is so huge. Texas is like 5 states in one, right? Like, it's a whole day driving through, but Yeah, I am out of my element, out of my comfort zone, and I totally see what you're saying. You have to do those things for yourself. You have to take that leap, and it's you can't wait for like life will pass you by when you're not looking, and you certainly capture it. I do want to start with one of the questions that I have for you, and it is your career. So you work in the office of a congressman, just Monday to Friday. Yeah, right. And so it's your whole life. Thank you. And so it's like, how do you get into that? How did you can start with how do you fall into that, or how would one get into those spaces to be able to serve somebody who's like, I want to make this change. What created that for you? What opportunity came about for you that kind of started that?
Yeah, I mean, there's some people that know what they want to do when they're young, right? They're in middle school. You have the Patrick Robleses of your world that know exactly that he wants to be a member of Congress and a president one day, right? But I did not know that. I did not grow up thinking I was going to work for a member of Congress. I think what makes people get into politics is that we want to make a difference. We have a passion for a certain issue. And we want to make a difference in that issue, right? Whether it is being on a neighborhood association, or being a part of a school board, right? Or being on the PTO. I was president of the PTO for such a long time for my kids. And it's just feeling like you're making a positive difference. It doesn't matter how, tiny or monumental it is, because in the end, you are doing something for others, right? So I think that's all it takes. I don't think that somebody goes to school necessarily says, I want to be a US congressman or I want to work for one, right? It's just wanting to find your voice and help others find their voice in return because that's a challenge that so many face too, including myself. I used to be so afraid of speaking in front of people, teen court going.
I want him
Oh
known.
my gosh, I used to be like nervous speaking at teen court, like during our court hearings. I was a teen attorney and I would get so nervous about doing that. I think that definitely helped big time. And then just speaking in front of little preschoolers when I was working with preschoolers, I just have to remember that's when I get nervous, I just think about little preschoolers and I'm like, I'm just gonna pretend I'm talking to a bunch of 4 or 5 year-olds and I'm gonna feel much
Well,
better.
everybody catch a bubble. Everyone's like 50 and over in the room.
But I think that's what it is. It's just wanting to make a difference. And that's kind of what led me into this world of politics and shortly realized, I was so afraid of getting into politics because so many people don't like politics, right? We don't like politicians. It's ugly, it's messy, it's all the stuff you see on TV. And not too long after I joined this beautiful world, I realized, oh, what I see on TV, what all of you see on TV is just such a small piece of our world. We help so many people in our communities. That's why we elect our members of Congress to help us to navigate through different federal agencies, issues that we might have. We help, veterans and people with immigration issues and people with housing issues and just so many things out there.
Small business,
Yes,
really.
small business owners. I just met with a few not too long ago. So those are the ongoing things that are super rewarding. It's not about what, you see members of Congress bickering over stuff on the news. It is about that too, but that's the beauty behind democracy too, is that, we don't have to agree on everything as long as we do our best to work together and try to understand each other and meet each other in the middle.
Find that common ground for the greater good. And yeah, I mean, it's absolutely like just when I think of you, I think like humanitarian. It's just serving others, and it's I think it's beautiful for people. It's not just being a good citizen. I feel like it's just part of your essence, of who you are. Like, and I think what a better career to find for yourself that you fit, right, as a teacher or a speaker or podcaster, just someone who has a message and just constantly does that. I think that is it's an ideal fit, with your personality. You grew into it, which is, I guess, what having a career is about, right? It's not just doing what you're told, it's doing what's in you. Shout out Patrick Robles because he actually has just that's him, right? Like, he loves that. You can tell he just loves it.
And usually there's no on and off switch for that, right? Like, we have it in us and it's always a part of us. So whether we are at work, whether I'm at my office, I don't have an 8-to-5 job. For me, it's all the time. I could be at the grocery store and encounter a situation and handle it the best that I can because of the hat that I wear all the time. So it's really just trying to give back to our community folks, whether I'm on the clock or not.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I've seen it. I've seen it with my own eyes. If somebody wanted to get into this, what would be like a like let's just say, I mean, those opportunities you get, what would they like, how could they start to volunteer? Let's talk about a high school student or a college student or even a stay-at-home mom that's like, all right, like my kids are in school now and they're not trying to do MLMs or something like that. They want to get out there and do something in like in their community, not just, sell or something like that.
Yeah, I think a lot of who we work with is our high school students who go on to their first year of college, and we help them with college internships. Really helps them get their foot in the door and decide if this is something that they want to do, because it's not for everyone. This world is not for everyone, and that is okay. So really just helping them get a little taste of what it is, and hopefully it's something for them, because like I said, there is a lot of beauty behind what we do. Also, I just like say get involved however it is that you can or want to. I just had somebody ask me not too long ago, I want to get involved, but I don't want to get super political, right? I don't want to get like too much into it. And I just said, well, I asked that person, like, well, what do you care about? What is the issue that you really that touches you? And he said small business, because he was trying to start a small business himself. And then I said, well, then join something that where you feel like you can have a voice for small business owners, right? Where you can make a difference for small business owners and for yourself. So it's really finding just that niche, right? What are you good at? And then surrounding yourself with people who have a plethora of knowledge in that issue area, so that you can just grow from them and from their experiences and from their mistakes. Sometimes and make your own story. So it's just finding what you're passionate about.
Yeah, I agree. I wanted to ask you something. You touched on it. Like, this is not for everybody, and it's not. I mean, just to on the latter comment you made, though. Having served with so many small businesses in a, nonpartisan organization, we were able to see like there's such a huge need, and people were like, "This is too political. You guys are getting too political." And before we knew it, like it was. And I was like, well, what's political? Like, that's just, I don't know. It got really blurry in the sense that when you're believing something so much, people will try to shame you with that word, like you're too political. And so nobody wants to be deemed that, but I want to get to a point where we're okay being that, because that is the beauty of our country, that we have the ability to be political and not crucified for it or put to death or jailed because of it, right? With limitations, right? But like, I want that to be celebrated more, and I hope the schools start to touch on this more, or even so much as this podcast will kind of show that it's okay to be who you are, and they're going to call you what they're going to call you, but you have to stand up and fight that fight that you feel truest to yourself, whatever it may be, because you can't lollygag anymore. There's no more, pleasing and keeping up with the Joneses. That's old. That needs to stay behind. We're not bringing that moving forward.
Yeah, and I think we have to remember that we have such a tremendous responsibility, and also at the same time a privilege to be able to be political, right? So just really understanding and figuring out how to navigate through that, so that it works for us, it works for others. If it doesn't work for others, then that's fine too, right? But wake up, folks! It's political. It's all political. It doesn't matter where you work. It doesn't matter if you work for a member of Congress. It doesn't matter if you work at a library or a school. There's politics everywhere. And if you don't have a seat at the table, then it's one of those, like, well, if you're not going to use your voice for good, then you know, shall you use it at all? So I'd rather have a seat at the table than just sit back and talk about, you know, all the negative behind it, when I could be, you know, possibly making a positive good for not just myself, but for the people who I love and are in our communities, in our very own homes, right? Like I do a lot of what I do is for my kids, for the better of their future, right? I don't think that some of the issues that we work on are going to get fixed even in my lifetime, right? Immigration, like there's not going to be comprehensive immigration while I exist, most likely, and that's sad. We're getting there. I think we have those trailblazers who are helping us, create those paths, but there are things that, you know, we can only help build bridges, help build roads for our kids to continue those fights and teach our kids that it is important to be involved. It's just, you have to be wise in how to move forward, how to navigate through it. Whether we like it or not, I mean, it is political. It's all political,
right? So that statement, like, and I'm going to say this phrase with no disrespect, but I'm sure you've heard it. ¿Para qué voy a votar no cuenta? Which is, what am I going to vote for? It doesn't count. They already picked them. And it's this narrative. I don't know. I know I've heard it for a very long time. I've heard like, nah, I don't do politics. I'm not political. And I thought, that's your First Amendment. that is actually a very political statement in itself, right?
Yeah.
The irony in that. And I don't think in all countries you can just say that. Like, you know, I think that some countries are even censored what they could say about politicians on TV and communication channels. And we're not here to bash any, you know, one side or the other, but it's just like people. I'm talking to the people, boots on the ground, small business owners, whatever it is, you know, anybody in the household that hears that, when they hear, I'm not going to vote, what for? It doesn't count. I think what you said, you know, I was kind of going backwards here, but what you said is very true. Like, no, you're going to sit there and complain about the changes, but still not sit up and vote at the table. And it kind of makes things even harder, right? For the people making their decisions.
And again, in other countries, we don't always have the right to vote. Women cannot vote in other countries, right? So, and that's not 100 years ago. We're talking about today, folks. Like in other countries, there are women who don't have the right to vote, who don't even have a right to walk around freely, right? Dressed how they want and using their voice how they want. So let's stop complaining about that and look at it as a privilege that we take pride in. Especially as a Latina, right? A Latina in leadership is one of the things that we mentioned a while ago. And it's like, what a monumental and ineffable concept, right? Like Latinas in leadership, like pinche chingonas, right? That's who we are. Like somos cabrones, somos bonitas, pero cabronas. But we have that spice, we have that fire, and it's for our people, right? It's for the inequities and the injustices that not just our ancestors had to get through and in those challenges, right? But like our nanas, our living relatives, our nanas and our tatas, our parents, and even ourselves, heck, even some of my children have gone through those injustices. So really just, I look at it as a privilege and I try to take it very serious. It's a responsibility as well. Again, I can't just complain about my country or where we're at or where we're not at or how far, you know, behind we are. The fact that sometimes we take two steps back just to take, you know, or two steps forward, I'm sorry, just to take two steps back. Like, you know, what am I going to do about that? I have to be involved. So,
yeah. When someone complains, it's just, did you vote? And I think it'll shut it down from there. Like if you, did you vote, you know, and some people can't vote, right? But some people can and don't, and they're the first ones to complain. So that is a message, you guys. Get out, register and vote, do your thing. If you can't find a way to be, you know, if you're in the process, I know there's some DACA and stuff like that. And so I'm not sure if they have voting status. I don't think so, right? DACA can't vote, but there's certainly other ways to be involved into helping this country, you know, be all it can be and be that change.
And that can go both ways, right? Like, yes, your vote matters. Yes, your vote counts. Like, yes, it makes a difference. I mean, we live in a city where we voted for, you know, our mayor right now is a Latina woman. We have, you know, another, our Pima County recorder, a Native American woman.
Yeah, our mayor is Regina Romero, and the recorder is Gabriela Casares Kelly, right?
Yes, and then we have Adalita Grijalva on the Pima County Board of Supervisors. Laura Conover as a Pima County attorney, right? All these
women
who are there because we elected them to be there. We voted for them. We knocked on those doors for them, right? And at a, on a bigger scale, right now, folks, we have a vice president, a woman, a colored woman vice president. Like, how beautiful is that, right? There's so many
people. About Lane Santa Cruz. I know she's
Lane Santa Cruz.
Mayor, I mean, yeah,
so those are all people who they didn't get there by chance. They didn't get there because they got lucky. They got there because people believed in them and they voted and they you know, went door knocking for them. And on election day, those lines were out the, you know, out the door, around the building. Like, there, people waited in line for hours to make sure that these women got elected into their roles. So that could also go the other way. If we don't vote, if we just sit around and complain, if we say that our vote doesn't matter, then people, you know, like, you know, a president or presidents that have done a lot of harm to our people get elected, right? Because we allow that to happen, because we sat there and we complained and we let those things happen. So it's up to
get out and vote
in those roles, you know?
Get out and vote, guys. Get out and vote. Register to vote. Be active. Put in your little semita. Make things count. You know, you want to see change. It all starts with you. And if you, you know, feel so inclined or passionate about something, talk to your local congressman, talk to your office, talk to your, you know, I know different states and have different municipality settings and kind of hierarchies, but overall, you know, there's always an opportunity to be a better citizen. And I think that comes not only like as a duty, but like as an honor, right, to be able to serve.
And if you can't vote, if you are in a situation where you can't vote, make sure that the people in your life, you know, the people who surround you, who are able to vote, make sure they vote. Make sure that they turned in their ballots. Make sure that, you know, they understand what they're filling out.
The disinformation running around is really,
make sure you're being active. Go to those protests, go to those walks that are for a cause, right? But follow through. You don't always have to be, you know, in the position where you can vote, and that's okay, because you could still do good in your communities.
Shout out to that. This is Cassandra Becerra, beautiful and bipartisan. Love it. Oh, yes. Okay. So we're going to go into, I like this topic because this is powerful. But we're going to go into another topic, and I wanted to follow with respect to your career because, you know, you are a career woman, but you're also a woman. You're a woman. And, you know, how do you find that work-life balance with, like, parenting and working, and then after work, you know, you have your activities or your, you know, your long hours, you know, sometimes it's not a 9 to 5 and it's like, or it's split up, right? So it starts at 6 a.m. and it ends at 10 p.m. or whatever it may be. So how do you find that balance? Like, you know, we talked a little bit about the travel portion of it, but like even something so simple like dating, even something so simple like going out and having fun, you know, in whatever realm that is, going out to dance, going out to eat, traveling, things like that. Like, how hard is it to do that? To like, what comes up that may hinder you, right? Like, I don't got time, I'm too tired, or, you know, how do you get over that hump for women who may be in that hump, who find themselves career driven, but, you know, how do you make time for your social life?
Forget my career, right? Just the fact that I'm a single mom and have gone through having to continue raising my kids, not completely on their own. I'm not going to not give credit where credit is due. They have a great dad who's very involved in their life. But at the end of the day, I'm still in the household with my kids, right? I still pay all the bills. I still have to make sure that dinner is served and that, you know, that I sign all the paperwork for school and that, you know, their lunches are taken care of and all of that. So, and still
falls on you. Yeah.
Yeah, it all falls on me. There's, you know, there's nobody in the household helping. And it's a scary thing. So forget my career. It's just a scary thing in general as a single mom doing all of those things. And then also career wise, like finding somebody who's going to, who's going to bring you up, right? Who's going to compliment who you are, who's going to believe in you, and who's going to remind you that you are a chingona, even when you don't feel like you are. So finding that person is a scary thing. Sometimes I'm like, I give up. I'm not going to find love unless I'm, my head is stuck in a Jane Austen or Nora Roberts or an E. Shades book. That's going to find it. You know, I want somebody who's going to mess up my lipstick, not my mascara. but, you know, finding that balance, I think it's important too. However, we can't just be all about work and we can't just be all about our kids. And that's not, it's not something that as women, we should feel guilty about, right?
Taboo. That's a taboo statement, but
exactly. Putting ourselves first doesn't mean that we're, you know, our kids are not first, right? Putting ourselves first doesn't mean that our careers are not first or that our families aren't first. It just means that we're first also. So yeah, that's a scary thing, is to find somebody to be out there and, you know, you find it and then you lose it, or you're just like, well, that didn't work out. So I'm, you know, when am I going to be ready to try that again? But we all deserve that, you know, and we all dream about that person in our lives, and hopefully they come along. I'm not out there like looking for anything, right? Like it should just naturally
drop
happen.
Drop your phone number here, please. She's single.
But no, I mean, I, you know, playing around, I say I give up, but I'll never give up. I just won't actively look for it. It just naturally happen. You know, I'll find somebody who I can read books with and ride a horse on the beach with, or, you know, go on hikes and fish with and do all the things that I love to do. But I also know, you know, what I'm willing to allow in my life and what I'm not. So I'm not afraid to turn around on somebody who is not going to benefit who I am and who my kids are and what I want for my future. So that's the point where you have to reach, right? Some women have to have somebody in their lives, and that's okay too, because we all go through those moments. But then you
become, they don't know how to be single. They don't know how to be alone.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're awesome.
And that's okay, because that is just yeah. You know, that's just a stepping stone for us as women. But then you become this woman who you don't need anybody in your life, right? You're enough. Your kids are enough. Your career is enough. And when that person comes along, it's even that much better, because you know that when they do come along, they're there because they've earned their place in your life. And that'll be a beautiful thing.
Yeah. When non-negotiables. There's a lot of non-negotiables. You know, I think we were single, you know, together for a while, and we talked about a lot of stuff. And I think one of the things is like, it's like being non-negotiable, you know, like, or the accountability, like, who am I attracting? Like, what am I doing wrong? Right. Cause it comes to a point where like, well, they can't all be bad. Right. Well, what am I doing? And so I think that pause, that break to just kind of be with oneself. And that's so, like, who am I? What do I like? What don't I like? What do I need to practice more on? I think that's so important in that process for myself. You know, I can't speak for anybody else but myself. But and we can't shame, you know, like you said, like those ladies. One lady, I heard her say to her sister, she's like, oh, I won't be alone. My husband dies. I'm going to go get somebody the next day. Although, whoa. Like, that's real to that lady, right? Yeah. And we romanticize it to the point of aguantando a lot of stuff. That's not it. But then there's this balance where, like, tienes que aguantar sometimes, because there's that compromise. Only if you want to, and it seems worth it, though, right? There's always going to be work to do. It's always going to be non-perfect. There's always going to be stuff, but
and you know, with so much work coming from households where You know, we have a typical Mexican family where we have nanas and our tias and our moms and asking us,
Married.
you know, where, you know, when are you going to, when are you going to, you know, find somebody? When are you going to be out there look and, you know, to look and when are you going to commit or settle down, right? The famous question at every birthday party, at every family barbecue.
You're
like, you know what? I don't need to. And I hope for it one day, but my concentration is not there, right? My concentration is on myself and my children and the life that we have. And that's what's appealing to me, right? I have to cherish that because that's a beautiful thing. And when that exuberant person comes along full of energy and full of life to be able to like be up here with me, right? We gotta be at the same level.
Yeah.
Then so be it. I will welcome it with open arms.
Okay, so you've dated, right? We've dated before and stuff. No names. What are three deal breakers that you had on a first date?
On the first date, you can't be rude to the waitress or the waiter.
You saw somebody be rude to the waitress or waiter?
Gotta go. That's not even I used to be a waitress before, and it takes a lot to
have a waitress life.
You have to be respectful. Like you just never know what somebody's going through. That's not just a waiter or a waitress, but you know, somebody who came before you when you're walking through the door at a restaurant, right? Or somebody in the Starbucks line. You have to be kind to others. So if I see that they are not nice, it's that simple. You have to be nice to others. If you cannot be nice, or if you feel like, you know, you're up here and they're down here, that's
cringe.
That's so not gonna work for me.
Right. The second one.
The second one. Oh my gosh. Okay. You can't be boring. Like we are full of life, right? As Latina women, we are full of life. We're spicy. We're fun. Somos tremendas, right? So you can't be super boring. You have to be able to make me laugh. You have to be, you know, like sarcastic. You just have to be funny. You have to keep up with me too. You have to keep up with my jokes.
Intellectually. Yeah.
If you can't make me laugh, or if I can't make you laugh, then this might not work. And that's okay. You know, if you are boring, that's okay. That's going to work for somebody. It's not going to work for me.
No aburridos. Okay. And number three, what's the third thing that was like immediately no?
I think when they talk a lot about themselves. When like I drive this kind of car. when they talk a lot about themselves and what they have. I know that a lot of people do that, both men and women, right? Do that to to appeal to the better nature of that person. But me, I'm not interested in what kind of car you drive. I'm not interested in, you know, what your brand of your shoes are. I'm just not interested in those things. So when you concentrate too much on that on our first date, I might not be going on a second date.
yeah, that's true. All right, guys, you heard it. What about teeth? What about food and teeth?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, you definitely have to have like good hygiene.
Oh man.
You definitely like, I have to want to kiss you at the end of the day, right? I won't kiss you on the first day. I will not kiss you on the first day, right? But I should want to.
Oh yes. I think the name dropping of any person or like a brand name or, you know, just talking too extravagant, I feel like it doesn't. Yeah, that's a red flag. I don't know why. I haven't dived into it, but it's just, it makes me think there's no substance that, you know, only, and it's, there's nothing wrong with being materialistic, but if that's all you got going for you, then it's just like, oh, you know, it's very transactional. It doesn't allow any transformation, any way to connect with the person on a different level, even if they live in, you know, you want to learn from people and grow with people. And yeah, you want to hear about cool things and stuff, but you know, there got to be more than just that.
And we all love
really small D energy when I hear that.
We all love the luxury stuff. I love fancy Shoes. I love fancy high heels, right?
Yes. Oh my God, I found the cutest boots over here.
But I'm not going to talk about that. I'm not going to. I'm just going to enjoy it silently, right?
It just happens.
And when I see your fancy high heels and you're rocking your, you know, cute little boots, I'm going to comment on them. But that is not the basis of who I am or who you are, right? So it's really reinforcing, you know, what's really important to us.
Yeah. And we have fun. So it's just, yeah, there's a thousand ways to be a little bit more of, yeah, it gives a little shallow. Gives a little
yeah.
shallow energy. And I know you got to run really quick. So I want to ask you, okay, you're in your full career. This is happening. Let's just fast forward 5 years, 10 years. What does that look like for you, ideally? Like in a perfect dream that, I don't know, you live off investments and, you know what I mean? You made, you know, the right move, then you just live on your daily, right? You have a business, whatever it may be, something smooth and rolling. What is your dream? What does your dream day look like in the morning for you and in the night and your week and your month? What does that look like and where?
What is next? I thought you were going to tell me what is next. That's the whole reason I'm here.
No, we're going to work through it together.
That is such a scary concept sometimes, right? Because in the world that I work in, it's every 2 years that we run, right? We have to, it's that job security is every 2 years, and that can be so scary. And I'm thankful that I work for somebody who has truly proven himself in his community and has really served his community to where it's not that scary every 2 years. But the reality is that the congressman is not going to always be the congressman, right? So that is a conversation that, yeah, I mean, it's something that I ask myself, what's next? I just have to remind myself that we are all the authors of our own novels, and it's just another chapter, and it can be scary, and that's okay, and it can be exciting. And I don't know, I guess in the ideal world, what I used to do before this, because politics again was never, you know, the like, oh, when I grow up, I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to work for a politician.
I think you should say in politics. I do. I told you that before. I'm like, when are you going to run? You're like, stop.
I know that I can never stop caring about the issues that matter to me and the issues that matter and make a difference in my family. In my children's lives, I'll never stop being that person. That's just engraved in me now. That won't ever go away. But in an ideal world, I would be working around youth. I would be helping those youth who need that second chance, who need someone to believe in them, who need someone to give them an opportunity. So I don't.
Hey, you really didn't want to answer that question, huh? You weren't playing. I thought you were going to cut off in the beginning, but hold on. You were. Oh, you're talking about working with youth, you know, serving them, watching them, giving them that second chance.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's where I started, right? My very first job was working with children who have learning disabilities. And that was one of the most beautiful things that I have ever done in my life. And it taught me so much, and it gave me a lot of values, and it truly builds character. And so I just want to give back to some, you know, a group of children in this case, right? That gave so much to me in my life and made me who I am right now, and gave me the heart that I have at this moment. So, in an ideal world, I would be working with kids again. you know, if it was a specific age range, it'd be probably teenagers. Teenagers have it so rough. I have three of them. I have three teenagers right now.
I have two.
And, you know, we know the struggles that they go through. And thankfully, we are strong mamas and we are there for them. And we are fierce when it comes to them, right? But not every teenager has that that person in their life. And so I would ideally want to work somewhere in that life, right? Build a safe space, for them to come to. Young women who want to learn how to write a resume, or, you know, how to dress on their first date. Or if they want to write a book and they don't know where to start, you know, or they're looking for a job, or who knows, maybe they are young mamas and they are 17 and have a baby and they don't know, you know, where to find resources. So I just want, I want little girls to be able to look at me and say, I could do that. I could be that person. I could be somebody. And again, know that they are enough regardless of what is happening in their lives. So yeah, that's where I ideally would be.
You'd be the unofficial tia of everybody.
Yes.
I went to a Hispanic Women's Network here recently and it was amazing. Just blew my mind. And they had a GASA representative, which I knew of the organization, but I didn't know how much it really helped, and kind of talks about teens that go into foster and how they, like, the risk, the higher they are at risk when they phase out without just somebody being there for them. So, you know, it's a 1 month commitment. But it's just like just somebody in this world that believes in you. And you're right. It just takes one person to, you know, give that. Luckily I've had that and I don't take it for granted, whether that's moving into the business career, whether that's been an opportunity going into any, you know, to be an entrepreneur. Now, I have not done it completely alone. There's always been somebody that's helped. They've either hurt me so much that I'm like, whoa, and it grew me, or they taught me and they guided me and they're like, okay, this is not normal. This is normal. And so it really does take a village, and I'm glad that you have that heart. Indeed, that'd be a perfect fit. So nice. That's very good.
I'd have to buy a really big house because I'd probably want to take them all home.
I've always thought about that. I was like, I could not be a CPS worker because I'd just be like, you know, you have to find them placement, but I'd just be like, everybody come here. But there's a lot. And, you know, I always wonder, like, why don't they hug them or something? But that actually hurts them is what I understood. Like, you have to have that boundary. And yeah. So there's a lot of training that goes into that. So shout out to people who have done that and who continue to serve our planet, our world, our country, just by being that unofficial auntie or tia to somebody, you know, that's rooting for you. Because sometimes people in the circle, they don't root for them because they just don't. They're in that space, right? Some people are just damaged and have kids. And so we got to break that cycle together. So shout out that.
Shout out to those people, like you said, who are that and you know, in the lives of so many kids that need, you know, that need them. I mean, there's so many different types of heroes out there. You don't necessarily have to be, you know, out fighting for our country or being a firefighter or a police officer. You could be a teacher. You could be a social worker. You can be, you know, the person who keeps our schools clean. You could be the person who feeds our kids in the cafeteria. Like, we are all heroes. Everybody has a role and a place, and we're all important, and nobody's more important than the other. Like, we all bring something to the table, and that's such a beautiful thing. So yes, shout out to those making a difference and being heroes in the lives of those kids who need us so desperately.
Yeah, it really does take a village. I love it. I love it. Okay, I know you got to head out. We're going to do a little roundup, and this is going to be a quick. I'm going to make sure it's.
I just noticed I was drinking wine on your show. Is that allowed?
Were you? You didn't tell me. Well, this may look like water or tequila.
It's cranberry juice. It's cranberry juice. It's fine.
It's cranberry juice. Cranberry juice is good. Okay, we're going to go over it, and it's just yes or no. I had one, but I think it's hilarious. All right. Halloween or Christmas?
Christmas, big time.
Okay. Well, your superpower. Would you like to be invisible or have the capacity to time travel?
Time travel.
Okay. And would you go forward or backwards?
Forward.
Oh, watch out now. Forward. Okay. Grape flavor or strawberry flavored things?
Ooh, strawberry.
Okay. Acoustic guitar covers or telemarketers?
Tough choice, but I would definitely have to go with acoustic guitar covers.
All right. Who would you date, David Spade or your landlord?
Well, I don't have a landlord now, but yeah. David Spade is pretty funny. He's a pretty funny guy.
He's funny. Yeah, he's funny. Starburst or Jolly Ranchers?
Ooh, Jolly Ranchers.
I remember your snack drawer. Shout out to your snack drawer. I saw that.
I have a major snack drawer. Currently in my snack drawer, I have Cool Ranch Doritos. I have
corn nuts. I see ones are just regular. Corn nuts?
Corn nuts, the picante corn nuts that you just put some limon in. So good. What else do I have? I have gansitos.
Oh, my gosh. And
what else do I have? I think that's it right now. It's kind of
boring. You're so tiny. You're so tiny. But that drawer is full. I was like, she either got to restock or it's for other people because he's too tiny. Every drink, would you drink it with or without ice? Like if for the rest of your life, you had to choose.
If I had to choose, I would do without ice.
Without ice. Okay. And then do you like people who like cats or dog people? Cat people?
So I'm definitely not a cat person. Much love to all the cat people out there. But I'm afraid of cats. So definitely dog people.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. And then like, if you had, like, let's say we had to communicate only one way, would you choose to communicate only with letters or numbers? Like your communication system only consisted of one or the other.
Oh my goodness. I would have to say numbers.
Really?
Yeah.
That'd be nice. It's like shorthand, right? You can spell out one, but just like, what does 1111111111 mean, right?
There's so many more numbers than there are letters, so.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. All right, that's a good point. You can make a lot more combinations of that. And Mexican food or Asian food?
Oh my goodness. Okay, so I'm pretty critical of Mexican food. And so when I have to choose what I'm going to eat, it's never, sorry to my family, to my people, it's never Mexican food. Because I make it at home, I eat it all the time with my mom, right? My Nana makes it. So when I have to choose one or the other, I would go with Asian food. And I love that they have the same level of spiciness, right? And they're creative with their food and it's not bland at all. So I would have to say Asian. And nice. I think I have a little bit of Asian in me. I haven't checked. I haven't done my...
No, I don't want to do it, but yeah, I think that's fascinating. Thank you so much for answering these things. I hope to see you very soon in person. And if you do, you have anything you want to wrap up with, any links or anything you want to share, or a message you want to share with the people?
Yeah, I just think that, again, we get caught up in our lives, in our daily, you know, routines of going to work, dropping off kids at school, especially as women. Don't be afraid to take care of yourself and put yourself first. Again, that's not something you should feel guilty about. Always believe in yourself. And sometimes you need to find people who you're going to surround yourself with for those moments when you don't believe in yourself. When you question yourself, when you doubt yourself, when you're going through rough patches, right? When you're heartbroken, when you're just doubting that the good stuff in life is for you. So surround yourself with people who are like-minded, surround yourself with people who are going to boost you up. That is why you're in my life, Andrea, because I mean, you've had my calls where I'm just like, Andrea.
Are you mine? You know, I mean, it's a give and take, you know, it hasn't always just been one-sided. I think that's what that creates that space, you know.
So yeah, just surround yourself with good people. I think the older I get, I'm not that old, but I'm getting there. Mm-hmm. The older I get, my circle.
Yeah. Latinas don't age.
No, we don't. We don't. We have that.
I'm 95.
But yeah, I think as I get older, my circle gets smaller, and that's okay. Or I have different circles, right? I have a circle of friends for this, and I have a circle of friends for that. And that's good to have. So just be very intentional about who you allow into your life. Make sure that they're only bringing good to your life, and that they're not toxic, and that they're not bringing you down. And that they're allowing you to live your life at your fullest potential. Because life is not all sunshine and rainbows, and that is okay. So yeah, just stay positive, enjoy your life, live your best life as much as you can. And when you don't, that's okay. It's okay to not be okay, as long as you come out of that funk, and you come out stronger and more beautiful and more brilliant. So thank you for being one of those people in my life and in so many other people's lives, women specifically. I know that there's women who watch you who have never met you, who are like, you bring good to my life. So be happy with that. And thank you for being so beautiful.
Love you. You can go watch her on Facebook. I don't know if you want to share a link or something, but she writes beautiful images. She's really inspirational posts, falls in line typically to what the Andrea Effect message is, and talks on a lot of different things. If you're looking for another person to be positive around and kind of create that community for yourself, if you don't have that community, you can find her on Facebook. I think most of your posts are public, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so you could find her, Cassandra Becerra, Cassandra, last name Becerra. And thank you so much for making time.
Thank you. For me.
Besitos. Bye. Bye. Bye, y'all. Don't forget to follow me.
Bye, y'all. I could say y'all too.
We can. I love it.